Just enjoy it.
We're back! Oh, you lucky!
We're here again!
Wait, are they lucky, or are they just going to have got an hour of nightmares ahead of them? Welcome to Left of Left Field, everyone!
Here are some Left of Left Field headlines.
From around the world. These are real.
We went out.
Yeah.
You went one way.
Yeah.
I went the other.
Yeah. North and south.
I was going to say east and west, but that's fine.
Okay.
We went around the world.
I've been around the world to look for brand new headlines.
We passed each other and went, have you finished?
Yeah.
And we went, no. So then we carried on.
That's our commitment to you people.
Yeah. And we came back here right now, right here to this studio to give you these headlines.
Don't be angry with them.
Bong!
Jude Law enjoys fish supper near Newquay. It was one of those boards outside a newsagent.
I thought it was going to be outside the chippy.
Jude Law! Brilliant. Bong!
Panda mating fails, veterinarian takes over.
Wow. Blimey. Radical. Absolutely radical.
Bong!
Dad vows to continue fight over son's mustache. It's furious. I think the school wanted to get rid of it. What's the point of that? Bong!
Bystander helps dog bite victim. Bong!
Charity boxing night ends in brawl. As if what was going on there wasn't enough. Bong!
Enraged cow injures farmer with axe.
Wow, that's a dexterous cow. I get it. Okay, that's just a little taster, everyone, of the magic that you're about to experience.
And listen, we brought a bit of energy. We're going to tear that energy down a little bit for a really beautiful song by Lofang. And mate, you're the one that I want.
Oh.
I've got chills. They're multiplying.
Time to talk about things that are going on in your life, you little rascal. Let me ask you this.
No. Okay.
What's been going on in your life? how are things?
Even though I knew it was coming, it still seemed to surprise me.
Yeah, I know. I'm like that. What an enigma.
Well, do you know what? I've got three daughters, you know, and I cherish them and I love them. But I thought I'd never get the chance to stand on a touchline, and Billy has started playing rugby.
Oh, Billy is playing rugby.
She's playing rugby for Old Crosslands in Halifax.
Go on, girl.
And she's loving it. And Sarah's, who has no interest in rugby whatsoever, has been coming, and she's suddenly understanding what it's like to cheer somebody on and have a vested interest.
Is she loving it?
What's brilliant is, like, you know, when Billy tackles someone and she goes right in.
Yeah, go on.
Down and grounds him down in the floor.
Makes me so proud.
Sarah's like going, go on, Billy, go on. And then when someone tackles Billy in the same way, she goes, get off her. Get off my daughter. Insane. And she's fantastic. I absolutely love it. It's just great. And I'm going to training, taking them to training. There's three friends and they're all doing it. It's a wonderful team. It's a great spirit. The coach is called Ryan and he's such fun. So I'm just loving it. I'm because I played rugby town and county. Billy will never be as good as me, and it's just great. I'm just really enjoying it. So that's what's
lovely.
Been good.
That is lovely. Yeah. You just reminded me of the worst ever parental sports call I ever heard. It was in the middle of a football match where the mum shouted to the mortified 8-year-old, whoever he was, come on darling. the posh voice, the worst thing you could shout out. Come on, darling,
you're doing really well.
Oh God, so cringy. Okay, ask me what I've been doing.
What have you been... Mate.
Yeah, what is it?
Listen. I'm just wondering.
Sure.
Of course
you are.
What have you been up to?
Thanks. Well, I have been back on stage for the first time. And I've been back on stage. I went to Hull University 150 years ago.
That's where you trained.
8 BC, I went to Hull University to drama. And I was very, very... It's the tail end now of the Year of Culture, which has been a massive success for the city. Yeah. Brilliant, just brilliant. And they're doing a play called The Culture. And it's a farce written by James Graham, who's a big-time writer who went to Hull. He's got two plays in the West End. Now he's got this. And it's a farce set around the winding up, the handing over to the city of Coventry, but the city of culture.
Okay.
It's very funny, indeed.
Sort of like W1.
That's exactly okay, the great. Kind of tone, W1A thing. Yeah, it's all that. So it's a lots of like executives talking rooms, and there's lots of misunderstandings. Yeah, it's classic farce. It's genuinely funny. But about three quarters of the way through, I've forgotten the name of the actress, but a very, very famous, Maureen Lipman. I think she's a whole girl, and she's meant to have come in and done a voiceover for one of the art pieces, which is there's a box, and you take things out of the box blindfolded. And then the voiceover says, "This is the spirit of Hull. This is the touch of Hull. This is the," and she, Maureen Lipman, in inverted commas, doesn't turn up. So they have every night, a different person who's linked to Hull. So it was my turn. I did the mass in the evening, and it's very funny. But going on stage was absolutely terrifying. It's really weird. And the worst thing about it is, you're on stage for 3 to 5 minutes. You read from a script into a microphone. And the joke is the box. It's a wrong box. It's a box for sex toys.
Right.
So you're describing these sex toys, but it's very, very funny. Yeah. Deceit. Anyway, they make you come off the bow. And what was weird was I was actually fine going on doing the acting, but got really jelly legged about doing the bow.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Well, you do bow in a weird way. You kind of do your legs up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you kind of fall on your body.
Yeah, that's the mistake I've been making. But it was really, it was like a real honour. You know, I was really excited.
Yeah.
But what was amazing about going back to Hull after quite a long time away, Hull is cool. Hull's become cool. So the old town was just voted, I think it's in the top 7 coolest places to live in the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's up there with Shoreditch and all that. Because it is, now on the quayside, which used to be like all like merchant navy pubs, and you wouldn't go there as a student. No, there are all these like, amazing pubs, amazing coffee houses, really top-end restaurants. Hull has become a really cool place to be. I just say big up Hull because it was amazing.
Absolutely.
I loved every bit of it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Let's play another song, mate. Let's play Tribe Called Quest. And let me ask you this question, because they've been asking it. Can I kick it?
No.
Inventions, it's Marky's inventions. Hold on to your pensions and your hair extensions. Inventions. Da-da-da.
That was like, did Andrew remember actually write that?
He did, yeah. Actually, I think it was Julian Lloyd. Right, okay. So this way, I'm going to give you three mad restaurants, and you've got to guess which one I've made up.
Brilliant.
Right, I mean mad.
Okay.
Okay, I want to start with Labyrinth.
Two are real.
I beg your pardon, I almost hit that wrong. Two are real, one I've made up. Which one have I made up? So, Labyrinth. This is in the old flower market.
If this is what I think it is, I want to go there.
No, it isn't what you think
it is.
It's not based on the film. Is that what you're going
to
ask?
No. Just to get to your table, you have to go through a labyrinth.
Is that?
That would be my idea.
It's sort of that, okay. But hear me out. So, it's in East Berlin's old flower market, right? The restaurateur is Jan Bischot. And he's an event artist called Damien Oertzel. And they colluded to create an interconnecting web of tunnels that leads to a series of small spaces with tables set up. The twist is that you're given a limited map of the market. So it's like a video game almost. You tell the maitre d' if you have any food allergies or requirements and head off. And at certain points in your journey, you're faced with a choice of which direction to take. And depending on which choice, you know, each door is colour-coded. It's emblazoned with a single word to make you go through it, like something generic like future, past, mother, father, politics, fantasy, that kind of thing. And you make your choices based on your instincts.
Fantastic.
In reaction to those things. And so on. And depending upon the route you choose, you end up at a certain table. A dumb waiter then descends and a door opens up with your food that you haven't chosen. It's just given to you.
Based upon your choice. The idea being then that it can, like, sort of like, goes to sort of your taste of.
I think it's just the adventure of it.
Okay.
Really. So you think, what am I going to get to eat?
Cool.
You know, you can say at the beginning, I don't like cheese, so it'll be something arrived that isn't cheesy.
Great.
But it'll be something that you don't expect because you've not seen the menu.
It's fantastic.
You know, upon finishing the starter, you move on from corridor to corridor and course to course until the end. At no point have you chosen your own food. Oertzel describes the experience as culinary destiny. It's been a big hit in Berlin, and there's plans to open one in London in 2020. Next.
Okay.
Au Noir.
Oh, no.
Yeah, better believe it. This novel experience puts a new spin on the term blind date, though it may not help during the awkward silences. Dining in the dark,
okay,
has been around for quite some time abroad, but the concept was only first introduced in Canada in 2006 with the opening of Au Noir in Montreal, and then a second in Toronto in 2009. Its philosophy is that a diner's enjoyment is amplified when a sight is eliminated as the other senses become heightened. Flashlights, cell phones, luminous watches prohibited. The evening starts in a lit bar where a guest placed their order. They're then led by a server to an unlit dining room where a two-hour seated dinner service begins with servers explaining where everything is on the table.
And you can't, you actually can't see.
No.
You can't cook properly.
No.
You poke your eyes out.
It's a nightmare. Next one.
But you can steal your partner's food.
What about this one? Modern toilet.
Okay.
This is in Taipei City in Taiwan. The only place where dining etiquette and bathroom etiquette are one and the same. The idea for this odd restaurant was conceived by one of the owners while he was reading while sitting, that's right, on the toilet.
No.
Initially, it only sold chocolate ice cream containers shaped like a squat toilet. But now, all the seats and tables are toilets.
This
the
is
food
horrendous.
The food is served in toilet-shaped bowls. But you get the picture. So, did I make up Labyrinth? Wandering okay. around, in, you know, trying to find your table. Yeah. Did I make up Au Noir, which is how I like to say it, Au Noir.
Okay.
Dining in the dark. Or did I make up Modern Toilet? Well, wow. You'll find out after this song.
And this is Simple Creed by Live.
You are.
So great. So you gave me...
I gave you three weird restaurants. I'll just yeah. give you the bullet points. So I gave... Which one did I make up? Did I make up Labyrinth, wandering around, picking doorways, yeah. getting to a secret table? Yeah. Did I make up Au Noir, dining in the dark?
Yeah.
As Bruce Springsteen would probably say. He wouldn't. Or did I make up Modern Toilet, where everything is toilet themed, including what you sit on? That's in Taiwan.
Well, I'm going to use my detective brain here. Yeah. And I'm going to say... that you want me to pick the toilet one because it's absolutely ludicrous. You think that I'm going to pick that, that it couldn't possibly be real. But I'm going to say, and don't tell me,
yeah.
I'm going to go with that actually is real. And the one that I think is what you made up is the one that is absolutely, whilst being a good idea, let me say, practically inconceivable. The idea that you can't see a thing is frankly dangerous. Is a problem. It will cause accidents. So I think you made up Au Noir.
No, it's real. Dining in the dark. And it is a thing that's been done previously.
You must be able to see a little bit.
Just leave it. Believe it.
It's not very romantic.
Leave it and believe
it's
it.
It's not romantic. Leave it and believe it.
So did it make up?
When would that ever be?
Leave it and believe it.
Okay.
That'll catch on in heaven now I've said that. No. Which one did I make up? Modern Toilet.
I'm going to go with the toilet, so.
No, that's real as well. Modern Toilet. I made up Labyrinth. Do you think it's a good idea?
Do you know what? I should have gone with that because I was working in Berlin a couple of years ago and... just drop that in there. And I think I would have been told about that because it sounds amazing.
I'm going to Berlin.
It's a great
this
idea.
Summer for the first time, so I might build it while I'm there.
I think you should.
If I build it, they will come, as they say in Field of Dreams.
Believe
the
it.
Restaurants
and believe it. If you wanted to leave something for us, like maybe a message.
Nicely done. That was beautiful, DJ. We don't want to sing, so.
How would they do that, Mark?
They do it by getting in touch with us on Twitter. You're at @PaulCoates_. I'm
at Mark Charnock without that damn underscore.
Yeah. Or you can get in touch with the radio station on Twitter. That is Hebden_radio. Or you can get in touch with the radio station itself. www.hebdenradio.co.uk.
Perfect.
Or Gmail. leftoflectfield@gmail.com. Those are all the different avenues. Or simply approach us with a plate of food. But make sure that we're not going to blindfold
them. And put it in front of us politely and then back away.
Yeah, that's the deal. Yeah, just back away quite a long way as well.
So let's have a song.
And then it'll be Riddle-O-Well. Who's excited? I'm not.
Hold on to your heart, everybody. It's the excerpts. Riddle me. me this, riddle me that.
As everybody, as one, our hearts sink.
All except Peter Carey.
No, oh, Peter Carey loves this. And in his way, in his own way, it's his fault that we continue with it.
Absolutely. And he gets name checked far more.
A lone man in the north knuckles down to try and solve the following clues. Go on, Pete.
Come on, Peter. Shall I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I am a serial killer.
Oh.
But I'm a fair one.
Do you know what? If you just ended there and there weren't any riddles, I would say, mate, we can work it out. We'll go to the police together and I'll visit you in prison every week.
So long as you have a loose definition of the word fair, of course. I kidnap you.
Oh.
I take you to my cellar to kill you.
What?
But I want to give you a chance to survive.
Thank God.
Okay, two pills on the table. Pick one and I'll have the other. Yours might kill you. Mine might kill me. It's a 50-50 chance. You take your pill, I watch you swallow it down with the water, and I do the same with mine. Moments later, you're dead, but I've survived.
Mm.
I've done this over 100 times, and every single time, my victim chose the pill that killed them. How is that possible?
Well, first of all, it's a very disturbing scenario. I mean, that's my first thought is, I can't believe you picked this. That's my initial
It's like point. I've really thought it through as
yeah,
well,
it is. It's almost like you lived it. So, let me just get this idea. So, my
so
pill might kill me.
We're at a table, you've got a glass of water, I've got a glass of water.
My pill might kill
pills.
Me.
There's two pills. It's a 50-50 chance.
So I pick one of the pills.
Pick one of the pills, and I've done it over 100 times, and not once has anybody ever killed me.
But I'm the picker, not you. So that's weird. So both pills are one thing? The poison's in the water.
Well
yes!
Done.
Oh my
well
God, I got
done.
One right! I got one right! Oh, I feel like running naked through the streets if it wasn't illegal.
That moment right there, that's the joy of Riddell OL.
Oh mate, I've just discovered it. I feel like a light's gone on. I feel like crying. Okay, I've got a couple of really quite crappy ones for
okay.
you. Okay, here we go. Why do Chinese men eat more than Japanese men? Why do Chinese... It's not worrying. The answer is not worrying. Because you immediately did a face to say, could this be racist? Of
no.
course not. It's me.
Okay. Because they've got larger appetites.
Okay, it's a fair answer, but it's not correct. Do you want to have another go, or do you want me to give you the answer?
Can I get this? Is this gettable?
Yeah, very.
So, okay, one more time.
Why do Chinese men eat more than Japanese men?
I don't know.
There's more of them.
Oh,
I know. That's how I felt most weeks. It's devastating. You know, you said, oh, that's the feeling of joy. What you got was the diet. It's like the universe balancing itself out. Yin and yang, perfect. Why can't a man living in the USA be buried in Canada?
Because he's alive.
Yes. Right, let's move it on before we die of disappointment.
Do you know what, though? Day and night, I love you. This is Cuddy. Kid Cuddy.
Well done. You nearly got it right, you idiot.
Day and night. I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind.
Clean the status, down all day. Clean the status, down all night.
There's a rumble in the street, oh. There's tapping of the feet.
Oh.
The crowd are getting large, they're saying, inventions from Paul.
What happened to hair extensions and tensions and planchions?
I just feel like I've got to give them something different.
That was like, it was almost like you were a sort of Roman warrior.
I really went for it.
Your face went really red.
No,
a vein came
I feel
your
like
temple.
I've got a bit dizzy.
Yeah, you do look like you've seen better days. Okay, 10th Paul's inventions. He's got two sets of three of these babies. It'd be rubbish and let's get on with it.
These are stupid reasons for going to prison.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
This is good.
So
already.
Two of these actually happened. One of them didn't.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Right, I'm all over it.
A bridegroom
yeah.
who failed to book his wedding venue decided that, on the day, making a hoax bomb threat was the best way to cover up his mistake.
Wow.
So Neil McArdle was jailed for 12 months.
Oh.
He told a court that he couldn't face telling his fiancé about his error.
Wow.
So he phoned in a bomb threat.
That feels real, that one, actually. That
okay.
feels real, I think.
Jerome Constance from Nevada was arrested in court when he began insulting the lawyer who was giving an unflattering account of the man who had attacked his defendant. Okay, so the lawyer was talking about a man wrongly accused But Jerome Constance had come to the court to see what would happen. And whilst the lawyer was saying this terrible, despicable man had done this thing, he gets up to argue.
Why did Jerome get up to argue?
Because he couldn't bear the what he was being accused of.
Oh.
He couldn't divorce himself from the fact that he could get away from it if he kept his mouth shut.
What? How weird.
But the best thing is, he was arrested and done for two counts of assault. One for the assault that they were in court for, and the second for the assault of the lawyer. And then lastly, Tanya Ann Fowler, 45, was arrested.
That immediately feels like a name you've made up.
Tanya Ann Fowler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tanya. Is he just saying Tanya Ann Fowler?
I don't, anyway. She was arrested for wasting police time after dialing 911 to complain about a very unflattering mugshot. So, did I make up?
She dialed 911.
Yeah, these are all American.
Right.
If that helps. In any way. A bridegroom who phoned in a bomb threat because he'd not booked the
phoned in a bomb threat?
Jerome Constance, who went to court to see...
What was the name of the guy who phoned in the bomb threat again? Sometimes I can tell by the names you
Neil McArdle.
Who?
Neil McArdle.
Go on.
Tanya Ann Fowler.
I know. And Jerome Constance.
And Jerome Constance.
So Jerome...
Are you just going to go on the
Jerome one again? He comes into
court. He's assaulted somebody. But
so he's the defendant?
No. He's just in court. As like in the
witness?
No, just in the courtroom.
Just a member of the public?
Yeah, member of the public. Because he knows that someone's been arrested for what he did.
Oh, for what? I misunderstood. I'm so sorry. Okay.
So he's just in the court.
Yeah, I understand it now.
The lawyer is having such a go at this.
You made that one up.
Coward.
You made that one up. The minute I understood it, I thought, oh, he's made it up. I didn't get it. I felt a bit thick. Anyway, here's another song to get us through the next little bit of life.
This is what I always say to Tom Walker before he goes to the toilet. Just leave a light on, mate.
Oh.
I will leave the light on, 'cause I will leave the light on.
Thanks a lot, Tom. You're welcome. Oh, yeah. He's gone.
Sorry. Somebody's got to say something more than you're welcome.
I don't even try and do a different voice now.
I know.
Tom, what? Thanks for playing Leave a Light On. You're welcome.
I just don't.
And he's gone. He's still welcome.
I wish I'd not explained that last one.
No, anyway. I think that's what got it. So there's three more.
Three more.
This is very good.
Jacob Jack.
This is very good.
Thank you.
Listen, no, because sometimes you get a bit insecure. It's very good.
Okay.
Everybody's saying it.
Okay. Jacob Jack.
Everyone's saying it. Go on.
He was a juror in a Florida auto negligent case.
Right, wait.
But
he was a juror?
He's a juror, but bear in mind
in a what case?
A Florida auto negligence case.
Car. Right, okay, got it, yeah. I couldn't hear it properly. I've got it.
Couldn't it?
Your diction's very chewy today.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he did something to get himself arrested. Do you know what he did?
No.
He sent a Facebook friend request to the defendant. Because she was so attractive. And he got arrested for wasting court time.
Oh, that's wonderful. I want that to be true. Oh, please let that be true.
Okay. Or...
Yeah.
A Kansas man was ordered to serve a 4.5 year behind bars after taking a neighbour's pet spider hostage in 2012.
Wow.
Brian Paul Smith originally agreed to look after the arachnid, but then threatened to shoot the spider and his friend if he could not keep it. He became attached.
What? What's his name again? Sometimes that's the clue.
Brian Paul Smith.
Why have they all got middle names?
Weirdly, my dad, me... And Smith, so you know.
Oh, Brian and Paul. Yeah, that's suspicious.
Career burglar Joe Kinnelly from Chicago was apprehended trying to break his own burglary record. In July of 2010, he broke into 28 homes in a single evening, which was reported by many...
28?
Yeah. It was reported by many local news stations as a record, according to the police. So, a month later, he was arrested.
29?
No, he only got to 26.
Oh, he must have been gutted. Well, I can't... I really want that one to be true, because it's a hell of an achievement. I mean, you can't knock the guy for not putting the effort in.
No. So, did I make up?
28's a lot in a night, now, isn't
it? The juror who sends a friend request.
28, I'm just trying to work out. If he did, hang on, I'm trying to work the maths of this out. So he did 28. Let's assume each... Oh, has he done that unless he took about 10 minutes each? 28 in a night? Even if he took... No.
What do you want me to say? Mate, I have no facts. I'm just telling you what they are.
Go on, tell me the other ones.
So the juror who sends the friend request.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that.
The Kansas man who tried to shoot the spider.
This is very good, these three, because I genuinely, they're all insane.
Career burglar from Chicago.
Wow. Career burglar from Chicago. What's his name?
Joe Kinnelly.
I think you made that one up.
I did.
Yes! You got the maths wrong.
I didn't.
Mate, if you said 14, it would have worked. I mean, not 14.
I was working on less than 20. It was an apartment.
I was working
in an apartment building.
Yeah, but I didn't see that.
I know, but if I'd have said that, then you'd have known.
But you didn't say it, and that was what made it easier.
You know what?
It? No. No, let's just hang on. Let's have this out while there's a song on. No, let's have it out on air. Because we've got to stretch this. I'm joking. What's the next song?
This is tricky. Evolution. Revolution. Love.
You're tricky.
Swell away.
Bongy bin.
Mark, what you been doing, listening to...
Never scans, does it? We've got to work that out better.
Mark, what would you recommend?
That's right. Well, that you solved it, yeah.
Okay. Swear the will.
Bingy bong.
Swear the will.
Bongy bin.
Mark, what would you recommend?
Ding dong. Right, okay. So, it's a sitcom that's been on Channel 4 that I've really been enjoying. I think now it's on catch up, but it's worth seeking out. It's called Derry Girls.
Oh, I've been reading
about it. Right, it's a really good review.
I've not seen it yet.
I'm going to immediately say off the top that the six episodes,
yeah,
and there's a couple of them that, like all sitcoms, they're slightly less quality. But when it hits really hard. It's four girls in Derry in the 1994, which is great in itself. They've all got very different characters, and there's a boy, right, as well, an English boy who's the cousin of one of the girls, and he's been made to come over because he's been sent away by his mum, and he's made to attend a Catholic girls' school, and they all keep saying he's gay and he's not gay, and it's funny. It's like a mixture of Father Ted, simply because of its Irishness, and it's slightly surreal. And something like, I can't think of anything, like bad education.
Okay.
So what you've got is this, you've got this Catholic school, four girls, one of them's boy mad, they sort of fill out, one of them's really pretentious, one of them's neurotic, one of them's away with the fairies, and it just works really well. And the best aspect of it is you've got the soldiers there, right, you've got the British soldiers, and every time they encounter them, it's like they're not there. Right. So for instance, there's a dog that she thinks is her dog, and she's chasing it through the streets of Derry, and they do a shot of this, like, battalion of men all armed, holding their guns, and you think, oh, there'll be a confrontation here. And every time they're in, it's just like they're not there. They just run past them after the dog. There's something about that that's really funny. But it's just wonderfully colourful and energised. It's like a real breath of fresh air. It's unapologetically big.
Right.
The girls are all really, like, going for it. Honestly, I howled a lot. It was really good. So mine is Derry Girls, and if you get a chance to watch on four, it's not called 4OD anymore. All four.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
A real treat.
That sounds great.
Really good. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, mine. Every now and then, you know me and my thriller books and my crime writers.
Well, what are you reading?
Well, I find someone that I can't believe I've not heard of.
Okay.
This is
always exciting.
He is very well respected. He's just passed me by, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's a writer called Mick Herron.
No, I never heard.
Is from Oxford. Lives in Oxford. I think he's from North East. He's been writing.
Herron, Heron.
RR.
Okay.
It's the particular series that has blown me away is called the Jackson Lamb series.
Okay.
And it's the first book.
Are they set in Oxford?
No, they're set in the premise is that there's a place called Slough House.
Okay.
And if you are a member of MI5 and you mess up in any way, you do something really bad,
yeah.
but they can't sack you,
yeah.
you get sent to Slough House.
Brilliant.
So it's a place full of rejects. You're not supposed to do any kind of investigating.
This is a TV series, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I actually looked into seeing whether
the rights
have gone. Yeah, they have. And whoever's got it, I hope they do a great job of it. The first book is very focused on another character who's through them all. But there's a secondary character in it called Jackson Lamb.
Okay.
And Mick Herron must have realised he's the best character.
Yeah.
He's like, is Timothy Spall, only uglier, as he says. He says the most outrageous things. He'll, if ever things are getting tense, he'll just break wind and just leave the room. Honestly, he's vile, but he's amazing. He's an amazing character. All of the characters are amazing.
Yeah.
They're great crime. They're great thrillers.
Yes.
But what's brilliant about them is they are there for a reason. They're not the best.
Yeah.
And that's just great.
This is very good.
And that's just great because they end up doing, when they're trying to fix things, they end up messing them up even worse.
Yeah.
Things do get fixed in the end, but only in a, you know, in a kind of a...
That sounds great.
They're brilliant. That sounds really great. Just brilliant. Page turners.
I nearly, do you know what I nearly did for my... Did you watch Merc Mafia?
I did.
It's had a really bad reviews. I went to the end because the last three apps are great.
Okay.
But they kept reading the reviews.
I did try.
Of it being too slow. I liked how slow it was. I like the incremental change that comes over him as he becomes closer and closer to being a gangster.
Yeah, okay.
I just wondered if you watched it. Sorry, I did.
No,
I thought it had really bad reviews. I think it lost loads of views.
I did five episodes and on the
last three episodes are electrifying.
Okay. Oh, well, I'll finish it off.
I bet you don't.
Well, you know, there's a lot. We should just stop content for a little while and let everybody catch up.
Yeah, like you said in the last show, yeah. Paul said in the last show, he went, I think it was just stop making music, stop making TV,
stop.
Just give us all a chance to catch up. And the worst thing about it is he's kind of got a point. Anyway, listen, thank you very much as always.
Thanks a lot.
Listen,
I hope you've enjoyed
it. We love you in our way, in our own strange, peculiar, curmudgeonly way.
I know there's some of you out there, you've got simple minds. But your magic.
But what he's trying to do there is introduce the last song. Simple Minds are having a resurgence. I know you don't like them, and I never liked them the first time around, but I'm reassessing them. Don't say anything nasty. This is Simple Minds' magic. We'll see you in 2 weeks, everyone. Bye.